America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above.
Ladies and gentlemen, a special announcement.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
From the NBC newsroom in New York, President Roosevelt said in a statement today that the Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, from the air. I'll repeat that. President Roosevelt says that the Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor in Hawaii from the air.
We will interrupt all programs to give you latest news bulletins. Stay tuned to this station.
Our nation will be judged and destroyed. I'm not saying a foreign invader is going to come in. I'm not saying who that would be. But I promise you our nation will be destroyed and judged for our sins. Otherwise, I like what one preacher said. If God doesn't judge us, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Yep. You know what I mean? I mean, throughout history, he has judged nations such as ours. Now, the popular preachers of today, they will get up and say that America is the greatest nation in the world. We are God's chosen people. I mean, God bless the USA. God shed his grace on thee. I mean, that is the popular message that's being preached today, that basically the United States is being blessed by God. We are a righteous nation. We are godly. We are a Christian nation. But here's the problem with that. It's all lies. It's not true. Now, I do believe that in many ways this country has been a great nation in the past and has been a God-fearing nation in the past and has stood up for a lot of godly things and godly principles. But I'm sorry, this, and you say you're not patriotic. No, I'm not. So what are you going to do about it? You're not patriotic. No, I'm not. Because I stopped being patriotic when my country started using my tax dollars to murder children and murder babies. I stopped loving America at that point. And when our country enshrined homosexuality, and when all of our leaders, Republican and Democrat, praise homosexuals, they lost me. They lost my support. Our government has totally lost my support.
And even though she couldn't be here today, because she's getting ready to finally take her seat on the bench and get to work, I want to congratulate Nitza Quiñones Alejandro, who just a few hours ago was confirmed by the Senate, making her the first openly gay Hispanic federal judge in our country's history.
Good news. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
Close your window. Go back inside your house.
Pardon me, sir.
Go back inside right now.
I am inside.
We have a real chance at this new world order. An order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order, and instead it looks like we got a lot of disorder.
It's been a long time coming. Because of what we did on this day, at this defining moment, change has come to America.
What do you want me to say? You want me to say I love homos? You want me to say that I love abortion? I love murder. I love filth and wickedness. I love smut and perversion. I love leaders who commit adultery with their secretaries in the Oval Office and don't get punished. That's great.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people.
It's wonderful when our leaders get up and praise false gods, and praise the gods of Islam, and praise the gods of Hinduism, and praise the false gods of our world. Oh, I think that's great. God bless America. Yep, that red, white, and blue.
God bless America.
Thank you, Rowan. That's awesome, please.
And if at times our efforts and works seem to fail and not produce fruit, we need to remember that we are followers of Jesus Christ, and his life, humanly speaking, ended in failure, the failure of the cross.
All throughout history, everybody is brainwashed by their government to think that their country can do no wrong, and to think that their government can do no wrong. And to believe that in every war and in every battle and in every conflict and in every situation around the world, we are always right because we're America. Now look, if we were God-fearing, Bible-believing people anymore, that'd probably be true. But when we're going around promoting murder and faggots and filth and sin, God will not bless America. You can say it all you want. You can sing it in the song. It's a lie. It's not real. It's not real when we hate the Word of God as a nation, and when we've kicked it out of the schools, and when we've kicked it out of government buildings, and the Ten Commandments cannot be posted, and the Ten Commandments cannot be taught, and the Lord Jesus Christ is not honored. I mean, look, this is how obvious it is, folks. Wake up. Wake up today, America. Your country is not the country that it used to be. Your country is no longer a Christian nation, it's a heathen nation. That's the truth today.
Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. At least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers. Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay, and that eating shellfish is an abomination? Or we could go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith. Or should we just stick to the Sermon on the Mount, a passage that is so radical that it's doubtful that our own defense department would survive its application?
You say, why do you preach this? Well, why Jeremiah preached this way? He told the truth. He said, you know what, Judah? You used to be God's people. Now you've gone after other gods and you're going to be punished. You used to be the nation that was blessed by the Lord in the days of David and in the days of Solomon. The Lord was blessing you, but now you've gone after other gods. and he is no longer blessing you. His wrath is on you. That's what he told them, and that's what I'm telling you today, that God's wrath is on a nation that murders children. God's wrath is on a nation that promotes sodomy. God's wrath is on a nation that does not honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say we have Christian leaders. Which of our leaders will stand up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Which of our leaders will stand up in the Congress or the Senate or in the White House or in the United Nations and stand up and say, let me tell you something, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, and faith in Jesus will save you and you'll go to heaven. And if you don't believe in Jesus, you will spend eternity in hell. Will any of our leaders preach that message? Any of them, one of them. Have you ever heard that message? You say, well, that would not be appropriate. Oh, really? They preach all their beliefs about everything else. They get up and blah, 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 and talk about everything else under the sun. And you know what? It's funny because in the United Nations, when these Muslims come in, they preach the gospel of Islam. Yeah. You know, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, he gets up in the United Nations General Assembly and says, you know, before I explain anything else, let me explain to you what I believe. And he goes into just basically Islam. And he's talking about Abraham and Moses and Jesus and Muhammad. And look, it's a false gospel that he believes. But isn't it amazing how the leader of Iran gets up and says, you know what? Here's what I believe. Here's what my religion teaches. But our leaders don't even say a word about it.
The current abysmal situation of the world and the bitter incidents of history are due mainly to the wrong management of the world and the self-proclaimed centers of power who have entrusted themselves to the devil. There is no doubt that the world is in need of a new order and a fresh way of thinking.
Oh, they'll say God bless America, because that's just a vague, just God. Oh, we believe in God. We fear God. Or gods. Whatever. But when do they get up and say, you know what? I believe that the Bible is God's word. I mean, what? And look, I'm not saying that they're trying to combine that with the government or have a religious government. I'm just saying just they're interviewed about everything they believe. Why don't they just say, you know what? I believe every word of that Bible. I believe that heaven's real and hell's real. And really, no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. You got to be saved through Jesus. You know what? Otherwise, you're going to split hell wide open. And you know what? Preachers won't even say that anymore. The famous preachers of our day, Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Balaam, the son of Billy Graham, okay? He was interviewed lately and they said, you know, are Mormons Christian? I won't answer that. I won't get into that. And the host said, no, people want to know. You're a pastor, you're a preacher, whatever. And they said, you know, people want to know, do you consider Mormons Christians or not? And he said, I don't want to get into that. I won't answer that. He asked him like 6-7 times. He just refused to answer that. What a wimp. What a phony. What a fraud. What a heretic. This is what we're dealing with today. Leaders who want nothing to do with the Word of God, who want nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, who want nothing to do with righteousness and godliness. Our country today has begun to promote values that are not biblical and Christian values. We want to go to the Middle East, and obviously, look, Islam's a false religion, but they're not bringing them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody went over there told me they were prohibited from soul winning to the Arabs. They were prohibited from giving them Bibles. They were prohibited from telling them about Jesus. Okay? And what we're doing over there, we're basically going over there and bringing them women's rights. I wish they'd never showed up here. And now we're bringing them over there? But sorry to confuse you with biblical reasoning. Many people would rather wrap themselves in the American flag and say, you know what? Everything we do is right. I trust our leaders. I trust that they will only torture the right people. I trust that they will only bomb the right people and murder the right people. I trust what they will do with the money that I send them every week. You know, I believe it's being used for the causes of truth and justice and liberty throughout the world. You need to stop getting so wrapped up and so caught up in the patriotism and so caught up in this pro-America, pro-government thing. And look, I'm not promoting our enemies today. I'm promoting the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I cannot support wicked people. I won't do it. And if you support them, you are part of their sin. You are part of their iniquity. That's why I don't support them. The entire world around you has an agenda today. Are you listening? And that agenda is to stop people from believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the agenda. That's the agenda of our nation. That's the agenda of our world. That's the agenda of our leaders in government. That is the agenda of Hollywood. That is the agenda of the music industry. That is the agenda of the public school system. That is the agenda of the magazine and newspaper publishers. They all are part of the world. When I was in public school in sixth grade at 11 years old, our teacher stood up in front of the class and said, "You know what? How many of you are Christians in here?" I put up my hand. He said, "You know what? That's fine, but I'm here to tell you, evolution's a fact, whether you're Christian or not." And he said, "I don't care whether you believe in it or not. It's true. The Big Bang is a fact." And he said, "If you don't believe it, you're an idiot." That's what the teacher said in public school. So you say, "Oh, how dare you, Pastor Anderson, to expect our leaders to get up and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ as the God of the universe." Well, they don't proclaim that because they don't believe that, number one. Because they believe in the Big Bang. They believe in evolution. But number two, it's amazing how they proclaim their religion as fact. And let me tell you something. This atheism that is taught in our public school system as fact, the Big Bang, evolution is how we got here. Let me tell you something. It is a religion. They believe I'm uneducated today. Because if you don't believe that this whole world came from nothing, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Because any smart person would know that nothing produces all this. And if you don't believe that, you're an idiot. TV is out to make fun of Christianity. So they put Christians and preachers on TV that are effeminate, that are weak, that are sissy, that are very lame. And then they put other preachers on TV, like this guy from Westboro Baptist, Fred Phelps. This inbred weirdo, with all of his weird hillbilly backward family, you know, and this is what Christianity is. This is what somebody is who's against homos. It's this guy. You're like this weird, backward, inbred, you know, I don't even know what else do you say about these people? And they put this out there like, if you're a Christian and you take the Bible literally, you're this guy. And you're like, "I don't know, I don't want to be that guy." And then they show all these effeminate as hell preachers like Joel Osteen. They show all these weak little sissy. Every TV show, whenever there's a pastor in the show, he's always weak. Have you noticed that? He's weak. They blaspheme God. They blaspheme Jesus. Even the cartoons, they make fun of Jesus. They make fun of the Bible. They make a mockery of the things of God. Then you turn on the radio and listen to the world's music. And again, it's blaspheming Jesus. It's making fun of God. It's attacking the things of God. It's attacking the Bible. So you've got science, falsely so-called, you've got TV, you got movies, you got government schools, you got the books, you got the newspapers. The Bible says this whole world has an agenda to keep you from getting saved, to keep you from believing on Jesus, to keep you from believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And God says the one who overcomes the entire world is the one who believes that in spite of the fact that it's on attack from all sides. You have to be able to push out the science out of your mind, that garbage, that lie that they call science. You have to push out of your mind false religion that you've been brainwashed. You have to push out of your mind what the TV and movies have taught you, what you learned on the video, The Passion of the Christ, or whatever other film that perverts the scriptures. You have to put all that out of your mind. You have to overcome all of it just to be saved, just to believe on Christ, just to believe the most basic truth that Jesus is the Son of God. You're overcoming a lot, right? Well, let me explain something to you. Now that you're saved, because I'm preaching to people that are already saved. Now that you're saved, do you think that the battle's over or something? I mean, do you really think that, you know, the whole world's out against you, But now that you're saved, now that you're preaching the Bible, you're going to be popular now. No, you're still going to have all those forces working against you all the time. And that's why I kind of focused on that a little bit in the sermon tonight. This political season seems to be united. It unites Christians with unbelievers to fight for a cause that doesn't even matter. And it gets them to, because of fear now, to put aside everything that they believe and to start making excuses for wicked people. I mean, you've heard it. You try to point out the wickedness. Well, he's not that, you know, and they start excusing people who are pro-abortion. They start excusing people that are pro-homo. They start excusing people for all their wickedness and ungodliness, because they just get wrapped up in all the patriotism, they get wrapped up in the election, they get wrapped up in the excitement. And you know, frankly, I'm not on either side of this thing, because I think it's all wicked. That's right. Both sides are wicked, as far as I'm concerned. That's my position. So I'm not promoting either candidate.
Amen.
I'm not promoting any candidate. Because you know what? It's all in the same category as far as I'm concerned. There's not a big enough difference today. Are you listening to me? There's not a big enough difference in the candidates for me to give a rip about it one way or the other. And yet I'm being bombarded by Christians on all sides telling me I need to get involved in this election. I need to get involved in this campaign. You know what? I'm not going to get involved. Amen. I'll be out soul winning. I'll be preaching the word of God. I'm not going to get involved in it, because you know what? I'm here to preach the unpopular message that Jeremiah preached, that this country is going to hell in a handbasket because of sin and wickedness. And until pastors get up and scream and yell about it and throw a fit about it and get mad about it, nothing's going to change. Until God's house changes, the world's not going to change. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And I'm here to tell you something today. We as Christians are never going to be popular when we stand up for what's right. You're never going to be popular, but let me tell you something. God will defend you. God will protect you. And I don't preach on this stuff all the time. I'm just covering it tonight because the election's coming up. I want to cover it. Because I feel like it's my job as a spiritual leader to at least state what I believe on this. And I'm here to tell you right now, I am not voting in this election. And a lot of people will say, "You're not right with God." And 99% of Baptist preachers will tell you, "You're not right with God. God commands us to vote. Show me." Now, I'm not from Missouri, but let me tell you something. I want you to show me. Show me in the Bible where I'm commanded to vote. I challenge you. Show me in the Bible where I'm supposed to pick the lesser of two evils. I got the Bible right here. Show me in the Bible where if I don't vote, I'm not right with God and I can't complain. You can't complain if you don't vote. Choose Coke or Pepsi now. I don't drink Coke or Pepsi. It's the same drink. If you think Coke and Pepsi are two different drinks, you know, you're a sucker. Because let me tell you something. It's the same drink. You know, milk, that's a different drink. Orange juice, water, you know, there's a big difference between Coke and Pepsi. It's high fructose corn syrup. It's sodium benzoate. It's carbonated water and caramel color. It's the same thing. But they deceive you that it's different. You know, both Coke and Pepsi are very bad for you. They are. My grandmother used to never let me drink Coke, because she said, if you put a tooth in a glass of Coke, in a couple days, the tooth will be gone. She said, we'll dissolve that tooth, you know, and she said, it's not good for you, you know. And I don't care if you drink Coke and Pepsi. That's not the point. But the point is, that's not a nutritious beverage. Nobody's going to tell you that's a healthful beverage. But they want you to believe that that's the only choices. Forget milk. Forget water. Forget juice. Nope. Coke or Pepsi. Oh, you don't like Coke? You must like Pepsi. You're one of those Pepsi supporters. Oh, you don't like Pepsi? You love Coke, don't you? Admit it, you love Coke. And that's what people say. Oh, you're not for Romney? You're for Obama then. You're by not, this is what they'll tell you, by not voting for Romney, you're voting for Obama. Who's heard that one? If you don't vote for Romney, you're voting for Obama. You don't vote for Obama, that's a vote for Romney. No, it isn't. It's a vote for nobody. So one of these idiots told me, they said, if you don't vote for Romney in this election, you're voting for Obama by doing that. And I said, okay, how about this? How about if I decide that I like Obama better, and then I stay home, then by staying home, I'm actually voting for Romney by staying home, because I didn't vote for Obama. So by not voting for Obama, I voted for Romney, because you say that if I stay home and don't vote for Romney, I voted for Obama. Now, can anybody understand what I just said? I hope you can. But I'm telling you, that's the logic that they use. And I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to do it. Go ahead, vote, do what you want. I'm not telling you what to do. I don't care what you do. I'm just telling you, I'm not doing it. I'm not promoting any candidate. I'm not endorsing any candidate, because you know what? I don't believe in any of this garbage that our government's doing.
Amen.